Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good morning, Patriots. Welcome to the morning commute with JJS and Lady Liberty here in the middle of the week. Coming from the heart of the American Redoubt, Patriot-held territory. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Wiffle Bat Wednesday.
Yes. Oh, that left a welt.
Yes. Well, and it should, because what we're covering today is so exciting. I'll tell you what. The wiffling is an exciting thing on our end, where the communists that are receiving it aren't going to be happy one tiny little bit.
Yeah.
Because everything that we're going to be describing today is all of the awesome stuff we get to watch happen when somebody wins an election that, you know, that is actually
hate.
An honest election. And honest elections that the whole world apparently hasn't been seeing for quite some time now.
Yeah.
And so just the fact that, wow, hooray, we get to see what actually happens in an honest election and what that candidate is able to do and start doing for their nation to just quickly turn that ship around.
Yes.
You know, oh my gosh, how inspiring.
Here's a pretty good litmus test. If you know if this is somebody that's worthy of our support, and whether or not to listen to the naysayers, it's the response from the international legacy media.
Right.
Like when they act shocked and troubled and distressed over Geert Wilders becoming the prime minister or Javier
Milei.
Sheesh.
Yep.
They're scared to death. You can tell. You can see. They work overtime to try to
trash them,
undermine their ideas.
Yep.
Highlights, you know, point out deep concerns that they have about this person's policies, and when popularly they are loved by their countrymen who are tired of tyranny, that want freedom, that love their nation, and this person is a threat to the World Economic Forum. That, you know, I mean, right now we should just be keeping score, just taking notes, who is for and against these people.
That's right.
Start putting the naughty and nice list together.
Right, because if you haven't already figured out, everybody that is pro-WEF is our enemy.
Yes.
You know, everybody that is pro-globalist is our enemy.
Everybody who's pro-WEF, pro-United Nations, pro-Hamas.
Pro-China.
Anti-Israel, anti-America, and I mean our core foundational principles, our heritage. You know, just it's pretty easy to understand what side to be on.
Right.
And what side to double down on. Here, this one here from Life News, I was just shocked to see this. And so I have a very special wiffle bat set aside for this one. Joe Biden wants to ban Christian families from adopting children in foster care.
Yeah, that's pretty striking. Because what, he's worried that the Christian families might actually educate them on the fact that being molested is a bad thing?
Biden wants to essentially ban Christians from adopting foster care children based on their religious beliefs and opposition to radical LGBTQ ideology.
There you have it. I guess I was right.
Bingo. Yep. You nailed it. These are the sickos, I should say, the psychos that are running the asylum.
Yep.
Here. All of them. I can't even begin to get into what really needs to happen for this country to just, I mean, to retake control from the coup.
Well, exactly, because we've also got something very interesting here that says that, this is from lawenforcementtoday.com, says that Christianity is under attack from the former CIA chief who compares patriotic Christians to Hamas terrorists.
Oh, right. Well, who was this?
So this was a former Air Force general and head of the CIA and NSA, going after conservative Christians in a recent Twitter post. Oh, my gosh.
What is his name?
His name is Michael Hayden, and apparently he is a retired four-star Air Force general and has a very open disdain for patriotic Americans, but only if they are conservative and Christian. The general, who also served as the director of the CIA and the NSA, recently took to Twitter to continue spewing his hatred for people who fall into that demographic. Well, oh my gosh, that's about as anti-American as you can get for a leader.
Okay, we got his name, Michael Hayden. What's his address?
Exactly.
What route does he take to go to coffee to meet with the other globalists to scheme every day?
Right. Well, seriously, because, you know, on the flip side of that, Michael Hayden should be right on the radar of Speaker Johnson, who just posted a great thing on his channel about the lighting of the Christmas tree. And so, you know what? I mean, boy, that guy, Michael Hayden, is directly in conflict with the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
And so I just hope that Speaker Johnson actually gets that memo as to what Michael Hayden just said, especially since Speaker Johnson is a devout, unabashedly unashamed, very bold Christian in his position, and God bless him for it. And so I just hope that Speaker Johnson finds out about
Michael Hayden.
Statement. Michael Hayden.
Yep. Traitor. A disgrace to the uniform, a violator of his oath, a hater of American
and a huge threat
heritage,
to American Christians,
which is the foundation of our country
and
our Constitution.
Yep.
And so, yeah, thank you for pointing that out. We just got, you know, got the naughty and nice list going, and just needs to be updated. You know, and this Democrat former senator Claire McCaskill said Trump is even more dangerous than Mussolini or Hitler. That's how unhinged these people are.
Well, that's because the Trump haters are on the side of Mussolini and Hitler. They are the same people.
Yes.
They're all of the same ilk. They're all communists.
Right.
Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini. Well, Mussolini was the very first instigator of fascism, and he even defined the true definition of fascism that I have in my book, The Perils of Sustainable Development, where he said the ultimate form of fascism is when corporations and government pair up in a way that they can team up against the people for the benefit of the government and for the corporations, and to the disadvantage of the people. The people never win under this system, because basically corporations and government scratch each other's back and get away with basically bloody murder.
So you've got Mussolini, the fascism, Hitler, socialism, Stalin, communism.
Yep.
At that time, they were competing worldviews. Right. I mean, the anti-fascists were communists who believed communism was a better way form of governance than socialism or fascism. So they became anti-fascist. That's Antifa. Right. They fly the same, you know, banner today, you know, saying anti-capitalistic rhetoric, but calling themselves. So here's the thing. Today, they're all rolled into one.
Exactly.
They're fascists, socialists, communists. Globalists.
Yep.
They're not competing worldviews anymore. They're all like alloy.
This is basically what is the governance structure called sustainable development. That is the UN's governance structure. That's why the full name for the UN governance structure is called the UN's Sustainable Development Agenda 21. Now it's Agenda 2130.
Right.
And so what the previous Prime Minister of the UK, Tony Blair, said, he said, there is communism, there is capitalism, now there is sustainable development.
Yeah.
Sustainable development rolls all of those into one governance structure.
Exactly.
And so that's what we're seeing with all of that. But
and that's why we keep the wiffle bats sharpened.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
calibrated.
And dialed in. That's right. Yes. That's right. Well, and so, and this is also why they just can't stand Javier Milei, why they're freaking out about Gert Wilders getting in, while why they can't stand
Trump.
And so, you know, it's what's also beautiful is that Trump is stepping up his game too, because he's watching all of his compatriots out there.
Yes.
Actually winning because they got rid of these electronic voting machines.
Right.
And they're actually getting to do what needs to be done to save their nation. So, so Trump is stepping it up too, and I'm glad to see it.
If we just get Bolsonaro back in there, well,
we got it made.
The two globalist access forces. So,
that's right.
Okay, well, let's get to the word of the day. I'm kind of running a little long today, but it's fired up, wiffle bat, wound up.
Thrash
Wednesday.
A commie Wednesday. Right, right. Well, gosh, we should have like a flatten a fascist Friday or something.
But just every now and then you got to throw in the random, just let her rip.
That's right.
Day.
There you go. Okay, well, and we do.
Yep.
So the word of the day for Wiffle Bat Wednesday comes to us from 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 34 through 42, ending in chapter 7, verse 3. And it reads, "When your people go out to battle against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to you toward this city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to a land far or near, yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent, and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, 'We have sinned, we have done wrong, and we have committed wickedness,' and when they return to you with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried captive, and pray toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and toward the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer, and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David." When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple.
Wow.
And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever."
Yes.
And that's it. That's a glorious little passage there, because as some of you that are listening, you probably recognize that this is what leads into 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where it starts to read, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place." And so, so this is extremely important, because most often times you don't hear the lead in to chapter 7, verse 14, where he's saying, this could be one of the longest sentences in the Bible. I don't know. where it covers goodness sakes.
Paul has a lot of those.
Paul is a good competitor, where it has four verses in one sentence, but where it says, if, you know, when they sin against you and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy and take them captive. And, you know, then when they get to where they're being held captive and they basically repent, what he's saying there is when that happens, you know, please open your ear and hear their prayer.
Yeah.
And so God's response was that if the people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So basically what will happen if you don't do that is that you get invaded by your enemy. They carry you away captive. And then when you are super, super sorry and super, super downtrodden, then you will be broken enough to repent.
Yep.
And seek his face and pray for forgiveness. But that's the thing is, do you really have to go that far? Do you have to be broken to where you're basically at the mercy of your enemy, wherever they have taken you,
right,
before you will humble yourself and repent?
Well, the interesting thing is we don't have to get overtaken by our enemies. Here's the formula right there. You just read it. There is a formula for restoring your nation and restoring his grace and his protection, his hedge of protection.
Yes, before the enemy gets there.
Right. And so, that's the sad part, is that the consequences are so avoidable. It doesn't have to be, so.
Right, right.
If you would just repent, just humble, we're not, so we're overdue for that. So we continue to pray for repentance, our nation. We pray for protection. And we thank him for his mercy in not dropping the hammer on our country, so long ago when we're deserving of it. He's given us more and more chances. That's how much he loves us.
Yep.
So.
Well, man. I believe that there is a huge, huge number of devout praying people in this nation that could be the saving grace right now as to why we haven't been overtaken already.
Exactly.
Where I mean, there's millions of us that are praying for this nation daily.
Well, yeah, because there are so many, such a significant segment of our country who hate the Lord, hate Christians.
Right.
And, we're seeing all these headlines, but little do they know, it's likely the praying Christians who are holding their what's due to them at bay.
Exactly. Because look at Israel.
Right.
Israel is already at war with their enemies who have been at their borders, with all their fangs and knives pointed at them. They're now in a war. We are not. We are not. Our enemies are all around us. We're surrounded. They were infiltrated, but the hammer hasn't dropped. And it could very well be that saving grace that so many of us Christians are praying daily and repenting to the Lord and saying, please,
yeah.
Please don't let our enemies come here.
Because the brutality and the loss of humanity that we saw on October 7th in southern Israel could be a snapshot. Yep. Of what could be in store for this entire nation. I mean, on a scale it up to what we saw regionally there, to the enemies that are in our country now.
That's right.
To, because they even said it was the equivalent of, like, I don't know, 29/11s or, however the scale of their population. It's going to scale up. What's coming?
That's right.
Is going to be proportionate, which is staggering to think of.
Well, and especially since the rule of war is the guy that throws the first punch gets the most accurate and the hardest hit of the whole fight, because he has the advantage of the surprise attack.
He has the initiative. Yep.
And so just the fact that we're just all sitting ducks waiting for them to do the first unannounced surprise attack, where just like you said, it could be just like what they did in Jerusalem with horrific things that even Hamas terrorists have said is worse than what ISIS did.
Oh, by far, it's so heinous you can't even speak it.
Yep.
And so I would say, you know what, Patriots, be the remnant.
You better, be on your knees in prayer.
There were Israelis who fought off Hamas and didn't lose a single person in their kibbutz.
That's right.
Because why? Because there were vigilant people who were standing ready to respond, and they responded indeed.
That's right.
When the time came.
Well, and
you know, don't be caught off guard.
There's that. And verse 14. You know, if my people who are called by my name,
yes,
will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's God's words, turn from their wicked ways.
Absolutely.
Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And so that is what we all must continue to pray for.
That's what we want. That's our heart's desire.
Yep.
Okay, well, good. Well, let's take a quick break. That scripture for
that scripture was it's kind of a mishmash, because it was kind of all the same thing, but they split it into two chapters. Mm. It is 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 34 through 42, and then ending in chapter 7 verse 3, but we also referenced verses 13 through 16 in chapter 7 as well.
All right. Well, good. Pulled it all together to make one lesson, and I think we pulled five lessons out of that.
We could have, yes.
All right. Well, good. Well, thank you.
And praise God.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and take that break. This segment brought to you by Prepping 2.0, the podcast to help take your preps to the next level. And that's prepping2-0.com. Segment 2 of the morning commute is coming right up, so stay there.
Before thousands were brutally killed, including Americans. Before Iran helped Hamas plan the attack, killing Americans. Before Biden gave billions of taxpayers' money to Iran. Trump played hardball with Iran. Destroyed ISIS. Kept the Middle East at peace. Kept us out of endless wars through strength.
History shows very plainly that evil only respects one thing, unyielding strength. When I'm back in the White House, our enemies will know if you spill a drop of American blood, we will spill a gallon of yours.
President Trump, the strength we need to make America strong again.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment 2 of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. And we are so grateful for you guys' support. And if you do not already support us, then we invite you to help do that so we can stay on the air. We are listener-supported. RadioFreeRedoubt.com is the website, and the tab to click on is the Donate to RFR tab, and any amount is really appreciated. Lady Liberty, segment 2, some really cool stuff going on. Speaking of Wifflebat and the communists.
That's right, everyone. Welcome back to Wifflebat Wednesday. Well, I've been dying to get to this piece of news because this is, oh my gosh, this is just what we have been waiting to hear. Argentinian President Javier Milei signs agreement with Sound of Freedom producer to eradicate child trafficking.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Oh, you would never hear that from a socialist regime.
Yes, exactly. I mean, all of us out here in the United States been demanding that they stop this child trafficking by closing the border? And did we ever get any response from Congress? No.
No.
Not a single thing.
Are they all child molesters?
Exactly.
Even the Republicans?
We cannot get them to give us the time of day. They even had both Eduardo Verástegui, the producer of the Sound of Freedom, as well as Jim Caviezel showed up in Congress to show them the Sound of Freedom.
Right.
They watched this movie in Congress.
That's
and
right.
Did we hear anything about it? Nothing.
Nope.
Absolute total crickets.
Even with testimony. Testimony from whistleblowers sitting before Congress testifying that 80,000 children are missing.
Yes.
And they're like, this is unacceptable. I'm wagging my finger with vigor here. I'm so upset about this. And then nothing. Nothing.
And it disappears.
They don't pull any funding. Nobody gets fired.
Right.
Nothing happens. You know, I mean, just the Lord put me in charge. I'd scoop up everybody. Everybody, they would all be hanging from the gallows. I mean,
especially
all of, the whole lot
over
of them.
This subject.
And nobody would be safe.
Exactly. And to think we even have, I wrote a congressional bill, the Stop
yes.
Child Trafficking Bill,
yep.
and hooked it to the Ban Electronic Voting Machines.
Yes.
So that we could get rid of it all in one fell swoop.
Right.
Has anybody from Congress responded at all? There was one response that one listener had sent to their congressperson a couple different times, and finally that congressperson responded back. She said, well, if somebody else will introduce this bill, I will support it. That,
right.
That's how brave that person was.
Yes.
Absolutely worthless. And so one person responded. Yet, when I sent it to President Trump at Mar-a-Lago, he responded.
Oh, yeah.
He's the only one that responded. And yet, Javier Milei gets into office. He is there with the honest election. And within his first week, he signs an agreement to eradicate child trafficking. And he signed that agreement with the Sound of Freedom producer.
Yes. It takes leadership. Isn't it so simple?
It's so simple. I'm utterly, my jaw just is dropped hanging wide open when I read that. It was
yes.
so simple. It was so simple. And we have done nothing but shout and scream from the rooftops, please, government, put this to an end. And we have heard zip.
When they hate you and attack you, and one of your main platforms is to protect children from being sexually exploited, we know the sides have been chosen.
Yep.
We know who stands for what. We know what side of the fence that people are on.
That's right.
And we know who to put on the naughty and the nice list.
Exactly.
And it's just
I should give the list tomorrow of everyone that I personally have sent that Stop Child Trafficking bill to.
Well, we could just put the whole, all of Congress, Republican, Independent, and Democrat are all on the list, the naughty list.
Well, they need to be on notice at this point.
Oh, yeah. Like, yep. Arrest.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you guys, be safe out there. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute right here.
That's right. You all have a wonderful Wiffle Bat Wednesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.